But when he was preaching and talking about from 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and he was talking about how Sennacherib went in and, you know, I've never preached from that chapter. I've read that, but it never dawned on me the goal that was in that chapter until Pastor Bob preached on it the other night. And then I was home yesterday, and I got that CD out from the conference, and I started listening to Pastor Bob's message again. And when I listened to it again, man, that got in my bones. I'm telling you, I just started going through that, and I must have read that chapter 20 times yesterday, just going through there. And the things that I began to see in that chapter, and how I'm going to talk about tonight loyalty under pressure. And I got to thinking about how that Hezekiah didn't crumble under the pressure of Sennacherib, but he stayed loyal to God during some of the worst times of his leadership. And all the threats that was made, and Pastor Bob did such a good job explaining it and reading it and preaching from it, but when he says, who do you think you are that your God is going to do? All the different people, I've been and conquered all of these cities, and I've come out, and now you're over there, and you're thinking your God's going to deliver you. Don't pay no attention to Hezekiah. But you know what? Hezekiah stayed loyal to God, and he didn't flinch. He didn't flinch no matter what the threats were. See, he couldn't stop Sennacherib from coming because he was outnumbered. The Jews was all outnumbered and outgunned by Sennacherib's army. But what they didn't realize was that they had an angel for them. And as Pastor Bob said the other night, he said, I want to rent that angel. Oh, I love that liner. Whoa, I want to rent that angel. And so I just believe that when revival comes to us and we're in the presence of revival, we need to remember that God is refreshing, God is restoring, God has given us, he's given us new victories, he's given us new energies, he's reviving our faith, he's making our faith stronger. But now when we walk out from the house of God and the presence of God, we need to stay loyal to what God gave us during the revival times. We don't need to just take that for a moment of time. See, that wasn't a moment of time. It was a moment of time for those people and for Hezekiah. But here we are, all these, that was I believe it was 705 BC. I went back and looked it up, and I believe it was 705 BC. So that's over 2,700 years ago that that happened. And so here we are, 2,700 years ago, talking about something that happened. Whoa, I feel a Pentecostal thing getting on me right here. 2,700 years ago, and we're talking about this event. My friends, let me tell you something. It pays to be loyal to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Now, I'm going to read a scripture here in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation because it uses a word here that will help explain what I'm talking about here this evening. Isaiah 54 and verse 10, the New Living Translation, it said, for the mountains may depart and the hills disappear. But even then, I will remain loyal to you. And really, that's what Hezekiah was saying to God when Sennacherib was making all of his threats and had his army out there. It wasn't just threats. It wasn't just threats that Sennacherib had. He had an army to back up all of the words that he was saying. But it doesn't matter what kind of guns the devil's got on you. It doesn't matter how Satan comes, what form or what fashion. God has anointed you and given you his word. He's given you his name. His blood has been shed at Calvary. And all we have to do is come back under that protection of the word, the blood, and the name of Jesus Christ and look at the devil and say, I'm not going to bow my knees to you in any form or fashion of whichever way it comes. Amen.
Amen?
He said, I will remain loyal to you. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. You know, God is a merciful God, and we have to go right back to the Garden of Eden and see when Adam fell in the beginning. God didn't abandon Adam because he made a mistake and because he was not loyal. He broke his loyalty. He broke his commitment. But what did Adam have to do? He had to pay the consequences for sin. Now, you see, when we miss the mark, God forgives us, but when we get into sin, there are consequences. You know, I had someone call me just the other night. Well, it was Friday night. I believe it was Friday night. Yeah, because Thursday night I didn't get home until 1:30 in the morning. So, or Friday morning, rather, so it had to be Friday night. We kind of stayed here in the presence of God for a while Thursday night. How many was here in the presence of God? Wasn't it wonderful? Anyway, I had someone call me, and they have a huge ministry, and they're in another country, and I'd minister to these people, and I had sit and talk with them and told them over and over again, you know, that the devil doesn't like what you're doing, and you're going to be tested, you're going to be tried, and you got to stay loyal to God. You got to be faithful to God. I remember using these words, and he was crying, and he said, I need your help. He says, I've done a bad thing. He said, I've had an affair, and he said, I just don't know what to do. And he said, I confessed to my wife, and then I confessed to my elders, and I confessed to my church, and he said, everybody's forgiven me except my wife, and I don't know what to do. Well, you know, I'm not going to forsake him because he missed the mark and because he made a mistake and he committed sin. But even though God has forgiven him, he's paying the consequences of it now. My friends here this evening, I want to remain loyal to my God no matter what comes, no matter what goes. I have missed the mark. I've made mistakes. But I want to walk in the blessings of God, and I want my light to shine so I'll be an example to other believers. And I believe God is saying, this is the hour that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trouble, I'm going to have some people that's going to rise up and not going to break ranks, but they're going to stay faithful to me. Amen? Amen. See, God's love and loyalty to us is beyond our human ability to reason. We can't reason God's loyalness and commitment and love and mercy to us. And he's loyal even when we miss the mark. In other words, God doesn't kick us out. God doesn't abandon us when we miss the mark. But many times we kick him out when we get a little low in faith or the anointing is not as strong. But I'm telling you one thing, my friends, don't forget what God has been doing. I didn't hear the message this morning, but I want to get a copy of the CD. And I often in my preaching, Pastor Bob, not here, but other places, bring up how God miraculously brought you guys through the tornado. I remember when I came over here and I just had to push through to get there over the rubble of the city and barely get over there, and they barely let me in, and I had to beg and plead to get there, but all the rubble was there and everything was gone. Everything was gone, but you know what? Pastor Bob was not gone. His loyalty, his commitment to God stayed. He said he didn't understand why all of this happened to him, but one thing about it, he never questioned God, that God, you did this to me. Well, God, what am I going to do? He said, God, you're my source. You're my hope. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. And he said, I'm going to stand strong. And look what happened. Look what happened. Look across the street over here at the school. Look right here in this building. And look in here. There's people in the building and there's people in the school. I'm telling you, my friends, it pays to stay loyal when Satan comes at every angle, and whichever angle it is, it pays to stay right in course. Everyone that's viewing at home, if you're going through something today and Satan's trying to divide you and trying to get you all confused, I want to encourage you, just stay loyal to God. Amen. And the scripture said, the mountains may depart. Listen, this is big. The mountains may depart and disappear, but I will remain loyal to you no matter what he was saying. See, to me, that's what I want to be able to say, that Even though there's earthquakes, even though there's storms, even though people walk away from you or abandon you, stay loyal to God. God never abandoned his people, even though they abandoned him. When man was so evil in the days of Noah, God said, you know, to Noah, I want you to build an ark. Well, God didn't abandon the human race. God raised up Noah and said, I'm going to make a way for you if you'll hearken and hear my voice. I'm going to bring you through. But you see, man lost his loyalty to God, and who only was spared? The ones that was loyal to the voice of God. The ones that was loyal were the ones that were not destroyed. See, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel abandoned their father God and his laws many times. But God stayed loyal over and over again with his love, with his mercy. And when he would find a king, when he would find somebody that would rise up, God's mercy would just gravitate right over there to that person. Even though there had been king after king that would rise up and the children of Israel would abandon God and they would go to false gods, false altars, all of these things, when God saw one rise up, God would just come right back and say, that's my people, I'm not going to abandon them. See, God will never abandon us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you to the end of the world. Amen? Now, I believe this. I believe our loyalty, number one, should be to God. Two, our family. Three, our church. And four, our mission. Now, you could do it this way. If you could add one more to it, you could say, God, if you're married, your spouse, third, your children, fourth, your church, and five, your mission. And you've got to keep it in this order. See, anybody here that's in ministry sometimes, they may not understand church and mission. But I want you to understand something. I'm a pastor, and I don't come to church on Sunday morning because I'm a pastor. I could stop right there, and I preached a message right there just by what I said. And see, a lot of people don't understand that. They think, well, that's your mission. No. I am called as a pastor, but my worship comes before my mission. See, my worship, sure, I'm here on Sunday morning, but you know, most of you don't even realize this, but before we started our church, and we lived in Dallas, after we made a change from where we were, on Sunday morning we would drive over here, but when I was out speaking somewhere across the United States, somewhere in some conference or whatever, a church, my wife, if she wasn't with me, she'd be here on Sunday morning. I'd be here. We put our tithe here because we know how important worship is. And so I'm not in church on Sunday morning because I'm a pastor. I'm in church on Sunday morning because I want to worship God. And so I want to say it again. God, our family, our church, or our worship, and then for our mission. Now, it's sad today that so many people put their mission before their worship. See, where is your loyalty? Where is your loyalty? People say, well, I work so much, I just can't go to church. I just work so much. Now, please don't anyone get offended about what I'm going to say, because I have no wrong motives here. But, you know, I know that a lot of people say, well, I work on Sunday. And I understand that you got to do what you got to do. But you know what? Believe God that you don't have to be limited to work on Sunday. Believe God. Take some time and pray till God opens the door and gets you out of that Sunday work where you can put your worship before your work. Amen? Now, don't anyone get offended at me if you work on Sunday, because there's no intentions of offense here. I just want to help you not to depend and say, I've got to work on Sunday. I mean, you may have to for a while because your faith level is not where it needs to be, or you're not where you would like to be. But instead of letting that be a bondage and keeping you there, say, God, and go to work confessing, God, I got a better job. I got something else that's going to open it up for me. And always remember that worship is more important than our mission. Because if you don't worship, your mission is going to be disturbed. See, keep them in that order, and I believe it's important. And as I started to say, ministry people sometimes don't understand that, and they're at church because they have to be at church. And I'm not saying that, I'm saying it in a whole context because they don't understand it. But I don't ever go to church because I have to go to church. I go to church because I love to go to church. Amen? I mean, you don't have to shout me down here right now. It's okay. I can go on through this. But you know, I was here in the morning meetings. I was here in the night meetings. And I wasn't here just because I was Pastor Bob's friend. I wanted to be here. Matter of fact, we met with our staff today. And they kind of got I kind of talked to them a little bit today. Because I wanted to be here. And I'm better because I was here this past week.
Right.
I'm strengthened because I was here this past week. See, just like Sunday night, a lot of people, they don't understand how good Sunday night is. Amen? I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. See, over and over again, we can read in the Word of God where man missed the mark, but God never abandoned him. God was always loyal to his word. And we have to look back at the prophecies of the Old Testament. How many prophecies did we get in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah? Well, even though man abandoned God, God never abandoned his word to send his son to redeem man from the curse of the law. Amen? See, even though man failed many times, God still kept his word and said, no matter how bad things have gotten, no matter how many has abandoned me, I said that I was going to send my son to redeem man from his sin. And so he kept it. It took 2,000 years, but God sent his son to redeem you and me from the curse. God stayed loyal to his word, even though what man did. God's so faithful to us. He's always there when we call on him. Isn't that wonderful? He's always there. He's always there. And you know, I want to ask you to just really begin to look and meditate and ask for more of God's nature to be manifested to you and through you. And when you're in a crisis time, when you're in a situation where it's difficult for you, believe God that God's nature will be revealed in the situation instead of emotion.
So true.
You know, how many times do we make, how many times do we get into emotion and allow us to make emotional decisions rather than faith decisions? How many times does something happen and all at once you get caught in the emotion and make a wrong choice? But you see, when we stay loyal to God and when something starts going on, we just say, God, let your nature be manifested through me right here. You know, in Acts chapter 17, I believe verse 28, I believe it is, it says, in him we move. In him we move. And have our being. See, when we're moving in God, and his nature is being manifested through us, we won't get emotional when things begin to go wrong, when things begin to take place that we have no control over. In other words, when we don't get things that we want, or when we get under pressure, we should remember that God kept his word. sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. So instead of us pointing to the problem, let's point to the cross. See, how many times do we rehearse the problem and bring it up over and over again? But what we need to do is start pointing to the cross and say, Jesus, you went to the cross for me. I'm going to stay loyal to what you did to the cross. You know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Who's he faithful to? Who is God faithful to? It's not just us he's being faithful to. It's being faithful to what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross. So the Father is being faithful to what Jesus did on the cross too. And that's why he forgives us of our sins, because he's being faithful. He's being loyal to his son. Yes. Is anybody here this evening? Don't abandon God, your church, your pastor, your friends, when you get in tough times. Financially, when it starts getting rough, don't abandon tithing. I believe I want to run that one by one more time. When things get rough financially, don't abandon tithing. Stay loyal. Stay loyal to God with your tithe. God's not going to withhold from you. You know, we read the scripture over there many times, and it says that God will rebuke the devourer and he'll open the windows of heaven. And it says, will man rob God? Well, we really can't take away from God by not tithing. But one of the things we do, we really rob God the opportunity to open the windows of heaven and rebuke the devourer. So you can interpret it that way as well. See, some people, they want to look at it and just say, well, you know, you're a thief and a robber. Well, I'd rather look at it this way, that God's not going to abandon me if I don't tithe, but God can't honor me when I tithe. Don't tithe. See, because he said, when you tithe and when you give, he'll open the windows of heaven and he'll rebuke the devourer. But when you don't tithe, you're the one that's not giving God the opportunity to back up his word and do what he says. God can't do for you because you're not trusting. See, in hard times, where's your loyalty in hard times? Where is your loyalty in hard times? You know, loyalty is not talked about like it used to be. And my dad, I don't think, ever used the word loyalty, but my dad demonstrated loyalty in front of me. So don't abandon God when you're going through tough times. Don't abandon God with your tithes and offerings when the blessings is coming in. Stay loyal to God when you don't have the answer that you want, or if you've had a real hard time and some kind of a unscheduled event has happened in your life. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. See, many times when God begins to bless, we get in revival and God begins to move, it's easy during the good times, but when you step out and you get back where evil is, who are you going to be loyal to? What are you going to be loyal to? What are you going to be faithful to? See, Jesus warned Peter of the importance of staying close so he would have the power to resist temptation and stay loyal when he was put under pressure. Now, Satan's going to try and put you under pressure. If you're married, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your jobs, in your finances, Satan is going to try and put you under pressure. So when the pressure comes on, this is why I'm telling you, be faithful to God when the pressure comes, that the pressure is not going to cause you to crush, but you're going to crush the pressure. Amen? Now, let's look at this. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 34. And Jesus is talking to Simon, Peter, and he said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Can you imagine? Satan, Jesus is talking to Peter, and he said, Peter, Satan has asked for you. Now, you're no different from Peter. See, Pastor Bob was preaching from the Second Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, I believe it is. And I said, we're 2,700 years later, we're still talking about this. But we go back, and we're no different than Hezekiah and Sennacherib. We're people that's caught in the same. It's not the same scenarios, but it's the same spirit of it. It's the same thing. And what did they do? And why do we read this? We get encouraged when we read it. So what we need to realize, I'm a child of God. You may not be a king, but you're a child of God. You're a king and a priest. You're a part of a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen people that you should show forth the praises of Him. So when the pressure comes and Satan begins to try and crush you, see, Jesus said to Peter, He said, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But look what Jesus said. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail when you, and then he says, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. See, Jesus knew that Peter was going to be caught in a situation that he didn't need to be in. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready. Listen to Peter talking now. Now, and Peter meant this in his when he was answering back, Peter meant this, and you got to notice his environment when he said it, though. But he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to be with you, both to prison and death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. Jesus knew more than Peter knew. Peter's intentions were good. Jesus, I'll go to prison. I'll go to death for you. And he eventually did. But I want to show you something. See, you can be in the presence of revival. And we've had it. You can be in the presence of revival. But we're not only to just take what we got there and live for the moment. That is to equip us. That is to give us power, to give us a greater anointing. So when we go out and we're right in the midst of where all kinds of demon forces are and there's all kinds of people making all kinds of decisions around us, saying all kinds of words and making all kinds of decisions that are bad, we need to walk out with our head up, knowing who we are in Christ. See, Peter was with Jesus and the other disciples in a safe environment when he said, I'll go to prison or I'll die for you. Yes. And again, I want to say that I believe Peter meant every word of it. But see, he was in the anointing. He was in the presence of God. But just after Peter was warned, see, let me just show you a little bit about Peter. Just after Peter was warned by Jesus, then when Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss and Peter was there, who stood up? It was Peter. But see, he was still with Jesus. He was still with the anointing. And then in a little while, Peter got real angry and he got the sword out and he cut off one of the servant's ears. And any way you look at that, that Peter was not going for an ear. I mean, you don't cut an ear off with a sword. Peter had the sword, and he was angry, and he was going for the head, and the soldier just happened to duck. And when he ducked, he got an ear. That's the only way it could have happened, because you can't go up there and get an ear. You're going to get a shoulder and an arm. No, he was going for the head. So you see, he was in the presence of Jesus still. But after all of this happened, and Peter's over in a group, and they're all, the fire's going on, and when he's there, he was recognized and confronted by three different people that, you're one of them Jesus people. No, you got me confused. See, all at once, fear got a hold of him. See, I don't believe that Peter was just blatantly denying Jesus. I believe Peter stepped over into fear. See, that's why I'm saying to you, when we walk out of revival, when we walk out of here, Satan wants you to be vulnerable. He wants, and he's going, and I'm not trying to put something bad on you, but when we've had success, when we've had victories, You know, just like this man of God that called me crying and talking to me for an hour. It's somewhere else that you would never know, and I don't mean any harm by mentioning this, but see, he'd had great victories, but he walked out, and a temptation came. And when a temptation came, he let his guard down, and when he let his guard down, Satan moved in to get him to make a wrong choice, to make a wrong decision. Satan wants you to make a wrong decision. Jesus said, Satan has asked for you, Peter. You're no different than Peter. Satan's asked for you too, but you got to say no. Amen. Amen. See, later on, we know that Peter denied Jesus three times, but it was not because he was arrogantly, blatantly doing this. He was in fear. So I want to tell you, perfect love casts out fear. When we walk in the love of God, when fear comes, all we need to do is lean close to our master. Did you know a CNI dog? A CNI dog is a dog like any other dog. And dogs love to chase cats. They don't like cats. They just love to chase cats. Dogs like to bark at certain things. Sometimes they like to run after cars or different things. A CNI dog is no different than that. Right. And you know what a CNI dog, when a cat goes by, when they're going along and they're leading a blind person, you know what a CNI dog does? It just leans right into its master. When a cat goes by, it'll just lean right into its master. When something goes by that he wants to chase or bark at or do, he just leans right into his master. And he gains his strength from his master rather than going to do what he wants to do. See, we got to keep leaning into the anointing. We got to keep leaning into the presence of God. When we're out there, we can be covered with the presence of God. I mean, I've seen the time I've been in places, in business places, and the presence of God has been on me. I've been riding on airplanes and sometimes tears streaming down my face, not because I'm weary or because I'm sad, because that, but it's the presence of God sitting on an airplane. I'm telling you, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you to the end. Is anybody here this evening? See, it's one thing to declare that we'll be faithful when we're in the company of believers who agree with us in faith. It's quite another thing to be in a situation where believers are not present and someone to encourage you to do the right thing. See, this is why we need the anointing. We need the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord. Jesus was reading from Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. God is anointing us to go into the world and be not just a conqueror, but to be more than a conqueror. Now you kind of nodded on that, but I want to repeat it. God doesn't want us to go into the world and just conquer. He wants us to be more than a conqueror. See, at work, God wants you not to fall into the snare that Peter fell in. God doesn't want you to fall into the temptations. God has given you the power to lead those people into righteousness and into the right thing that's trying to lead you the wrong way. I'm always encouraging people to be in the house of God. I don't encourage people to be in the house of God for number's sake. But Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Why? Because when you come, you hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love to be in the house of God. Remember a few minutes ago, I said, I don't go to church because I'm a preacher. I don't go to church because I'm a pastor. I don't go to church because that's part of my mission. I go to church to worship God. I love to go to church. I love to come to Calvary. I love to come to Calvary when I wasn't preaching. I didn't preach but one time this past week, and that's not a complaint. That's just an explain. I'm just saying something. I would have been here if I wasn't asked to speak at all. But I'm telling you, I was better after these 5 days.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I got so blessed. I couldn't go out of my house yesterday. I believe yesterday was Saturday. You know, you get in the anointing, the presence of God, you even forget. But my wife said, "Are you going to do you?" And I said, "No, I'm staying home. I'm staying home." And I mean, I didn't sleep. I just went in there to my desk and I got that CD out and I just listened to that thing and I'd run it back and I'd listen again. I said, "What did he say there?" And I'd listen to that again. And I'm telling you, I thought I was going to have to get up on my desk and dance like that little woman does on that No Limits and No Boundaries. I'm serious. I'm not just trying to say something nice here. It was so good to be in the presence of God. Amen? And so we should want to come to the house of God to hear the word of God and be in the presence of God. See, what happened to Peter when he was in this and he heard the conversations that was going on where the fire was and where the people were? He got distracted. And so he began to think wrong thoughts. And then when the first one said to him, "I know who you are." See, already Peter in his mind, he sold out in his mind before he sold out publicly. Because he was thinking, "What am I going to do if they recognize me? What am I going to do if they see me here? What am I going to do?" Instead of saying, "I know what I'm going to do," or else getting out now while he can. See, many times people see they need to go and not be where they are. But they say, "Well, it won't hurt." If you're going right there that far, you've already hurt. You need to get up and run. Is anybody here? See, distance from Jesus and a lack of fellowship can do bad things to God's people. See, anytime we talk to someone, whether it's a congregational member or it's a minister, that has a failure, what's happened? They begin to distance themselves from the presence of God. They begin to distance themselves in the anointing, because I'll tell you, the anointing wants you to do nothing but just worship. The anointing wants you to do nothing but just love. The anointing wants you to do nothing but just be doing the right thing. See, the anointing, when the anointing is present, it's easy to be loyal, but when you step out from under the anointing, that's when your flesh begins to give you trouble. That's when your emotions begin to rise up. And so that's where you got to learn to walk in faith and be loyal when you don't feel the anointing. How do you handle pressure that tests your loyalty and trustworthiness to the Lord? How do you handle the pressure that tests your loyalty when you're in a group of people that are not born again, that don't know about God, that don't know the things of God, or if they do, they're denying them? How do you handle the pressure when you're in those moments? See, are you just quiet? See, many times being quiet's not the thing to do. I read a story about a salesman or a salesperson. It was actually a gentleman. And he was waiting to see the purchasing agent of an engineering firm. And when the salesman went in, he went in to submit his bid to the company and give them a quote for what they was offering this engineering firm. And he couldn't help but notice while he was there, the other company that was submitting their bid, it was on the desk of where he was. And so the gentleman he was talking to got up and left the room. And when he got up and left the room, he was reading the paper. But unfortunately, when he got down to a certain spot, there was a can of juice sitting there. And he couldn't see the bottom line. And so the temptation to see the amount quoted was too much for the salesman. He just couldn't handle it. "I just got to know. I just got to know what the other company's bid is to make sure mine is where it should be." So he couldn't stand it any longer. And so finally he reached over to get the can of juice. And when he did, thousands of BBs begin to run all over the floor. It was a can that looked like a can of juice that had no bottom in it, and it was there for that purpose. See, where was his loyalty? See, he wanted to get the contract. He saw what he thought was an opportunity. Just move the can. Just move the can. All he had to do was cheat a little bit. All he had to do was just touch something that wasn't his to touch. That's a big statement right there. All he had to do was touch something that wasn't his to touch. All he had to do was have one look only. That's all he wanted, was one look. But you see, he didn't know that he was being set up, but the devil knows when he's setting you up. And that's why we come in here and revival and the anointing of God comes. We just want to say, Lord, I want to be loyal. I want to be faithful to you. He probably thought to himself, I worked hard on this bid. And no one would know if I take a peek. Why, the other salesman, if he was sitting here, he'd probably do the same thing. He probably thought people that play by the rules, they finish last. I want this sale so bad. I've got bills to pay. I've got obligations. All he had to do was compromise just a little bit. Do you think he ever got the business from that company? Oh, folks, I'm telling you. These are just little simple things. Little simple things, but it pays to be loyal to God. You know, my dad, when I grew up, I'd watch my dad. My dad had a job, but he had a side job, and he did a lot of construction. And I'd help my dad as a kid, not because I wanted to, because I had to. And that's truth, you know. And my dad would do jobs, and he never signed a contract. He didn't have to because of his word. And if something went down it wasn't supposed to do, Dad would satisfy the customer no matter what. He said, that's what you want? I'll do it. Well, at my dad's funeral, I did my dad's funeral, and my nephews told me a story that I got to share. And at my dad's funeral, there was three of them, and they used to work for my dad after, you know, they're younger, and so, and of course, they thought my dad was out of his tree, too, because my dad was so loyal. And he did some work for this lady, and when he got through, the lady wasn't real happy about what had been done. Dad said, that's okay, I won't charge you. Oh, well. Actually, that was my timer telling me I'd preached long enough. I got the ring cut off, but seriously, that was my timer. And I'm just about there. Is that all right, Pastor Bob? But at my dad's funeral, my nephews had told me a story that I got to share. And as I said, he did some work for this woman, and he told her, said, I'm just not going to charge you because I want you to be happy, and if you're not happy with my work. And Dad did all kinds of work for her after this, but anyway, my nephew said, that is just absolutely stupid. We've done all this work, and then Granddaddy's not going to get paid, so that means we're not going to get paid. So they said to my dad, they said, Granddaddy, can we go to the store and get a Coke? He said, yeah, sure. They was doing a job. So they left, and they went down to the lady's house and said, my granddaddy changed his mind. And he decided that he thinks you ought to pay him for the job. So she went in and got the money and gave it to him, so they divided it between themselves. And they came back, and Daddy said, well, did you boys enjoy your Coke? They said, yeah, we did, Granddaddy. It was really cold. It was just hit the spot. It was really good. He said, oh, He said, "Where'd you get the money? From the lady where we went, where I wouldn't receive the money? Did you go and get the money?" They said, "No, Granddaddy, no, no." He said, "Well, I tell you what, let's just get in the car and drive back down to the lady's house and let's just go and see if there's anything there that she wants us to do that we hadn't done, and even though we know she wasn't happy." So they went back to the house, and when they got there, they said, "Granddaddy, we did get the money. We did come back for the money." He said, "Okay, you go in and tell them it was you that come and got the money. It wasn't me that come and got the money." And my nephews told me at my dad's service that I was preaching, they said, "Uncle Don, we learned more that day from Granddaddy than anything we've ever learned in our life. And we've learned never to lie or be disloyal." We were disloyal to Granddaddy. They used the words, we weren't even talking about loyal, but we were disloyal to Granddaddy. And see, all you have to do is cheat a little bit, the devil tells you. Just cheat a little bit. But but you see, that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to step out just a little bit. Now, as I try to bring this into a place here, you know, all companies today, airlines and grocery stores and all kinds of people, they have loyalty programs. We're not loyal to those businesses. We're loyal for our points. Oh, come on, help me out here now. We start out trying to be loyal, but you know the big major companies don't really care about the customers this day and time. They're about the bottom line. And you can have all of these points or all of these miles or whatever it may be. It could be a hotel chain. It could be a grocery store chain or whatever. And something can go wrong. And many times you get treated just like anybody else that don't travel. So really we're being loyal to ourselves, not the company. But the company knows if we'll reward them, they'll stay with us. So they reward us with mouths and stuff. We need to be loyal to God, not just do stuff to get from God. See, because if we're loyal, God will give us more than we could ever ask for. God will give us more than we could ever desire. Amen? See, what happened to David and Jonathan? What happened to David and Jonathan? Don't you think this was a difficult thing for David? Let me just go to another story real quick before I get to that one. Think about David, how he must have felt when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. And he brought all of the brothers in. Jesse brought all of his sons in, but didn't bring David in. Now, we had four children. We have three now, of course, but if somebody says, "I want to see your children," am I going to leave one out? What's going on with Jesse? I don't know what was going on with Jesse. But here, he was left out there, but it didn't faze David. See, it didn't faze David. This is what I want you to understand. Jesse was not being fair to his son by not giving him the same opportunity that all the other sons were. And when Samuel got through, he said, "Do you have anybody else in your family? Is anybody else around here?" He said, "Yeah, I got one. He's out there watching the sheep." He said, "Well, bring him in." Why didn't he bring him in to begin with? And see, David knew that. Don't think David was stupid. When David got there, he knew what had happened. I don't know what happened. I don't know why Jesse didn't do it. I don't know if there was a strained relationship there or something. I don't even know what it was. But all I know was when David came in, he didn't let it bother him. David didn't let it bother him. He stayed loyal. And David always stayed loyal to Saul no matter what. David stayed loyal to Saul. Even when Saul was trying to take his life, he said, I'm not going to touch him. I'm not going to touch him. He's God's man. He's God's anointed. David stayed loyal. And then when David and Jonathan made their they made their covenant. And then after Jonathan died, one day David said, is there anybody left? Anybody left? They said, yeah, down in Lodibar, there's Jonathan's son. There's Mephibosheth. He said, go get him. See, when we're loyal, God is not going to forget us. Somewhere it may take a long time. Somehow we may suffer for a while. But when we stay loyal to God, God's always going to come through for us. God's always going to remember us. You know, I remember I was watching this when it happened in 2010 in the Vancouver Olympics. And when Seven Kramer, the Netherlands superstar skater, was competing for the finals in the 10,000-meter race, he had skated 25 times around the rink so well, he set the Olympic record time of 12.54.50 seconds. He finished a full 4 seconds ahead of the second-place skater. He was thrilled. And the week before, he had won the gold in the 5,000-meter race. And now he had won a second Olympic gold medal representing that company, that country, rather, that adores and lives for ice skating, this kind of skating. He was a national hero, but not many moments after this event happened, he was being celebrated as the winner of that race and having the gold medal. But all at once he got news that he was disqualified. I was watching this when it happened. And I remember thinking, wow, this is awful. Well, Seven was crushed because he would have won that race. But what happened was the coach, I believe it was 5 or 8 laps before, I don't remember, but 5 or 8 laps before, the coach told him to switch lanes. Well, that's illegal. You can't do that. Seven had been with his coach, I believe, 15 years, and he had always done anything his coach told him to do, and he was loyal to him. He trusted him, and he believed that anything he said. But he was in the race, and he didn't have time to think for himself. And when his coach motioned for him to change lane, he just switched over and changed lane, which was an illegal move. Well, the coach was not thinking and trying to get him to do something illegal. The coach really had the skater at heart and was telling him to make that decision to do that. But somewhere, the coach missed the legal term there. And so Seven was crushed because of what happened, and he was disqualified, and he didn't get the medal. And he was angry at his coach, and he didn't want anything to do with his coach. But after he went to sleep and he got up and began to think about it, he called his coach up, or the coach called him up. The coach had been trying to talk to him, and he wanted nothing to do with the coach. But finally, Seven realized, he said, we've had too much good to let one thing divide us. He made a mistake. I'm going to forgive him for his mistake. Seven forgave him for his mistake. And when he forgave him for his mistake, he said, I believe I can still trust my coach that he'll take me to be a winner again. Now, folks, Seven did a big thing by forgiving that coach. But God does a big thing every time he forgives you and he forgives me. How many times have we been in the coach's position and we've made a wrong call or we've done something we shouldn't do, we've committed sin, we've stepped out, but God is saying, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to help you. Amen. David brought Mephibosheth in and said, sit at my table. Sit at my table. I promised your father that I would look after you. And you'll never have to want the rest of your life because of the promise I made to your father. The father made a promise to the son 2,000 years ago that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And what Jesus did at Calvary was for our benefit. So tonight, all we have to do is stay loyal. Is anybody in the house tonight? Would you just bow your head with me right now? If there's anybody in the building tonight, you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or somewhere down the way you did make a commitment, and now it's strained, or maybe number three, you've just totally given up. You've just totally given up. I want to ask you, would you like to be prayed for tonight? Would you like me to pray with you? If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or somewhere you accepted the Lord, but you hadn't been faithful with your relationship, you've lost your loyalty, you've lost your commitment. Number three, you've just given up. If you're in one of the three areas that I've just mentioned and you'd like me to pray with you and you'd like to pray this prayer of forgiveness, hold up your hand and say, I want to be included in that prayer. Don, I want to be included in that prayer. Is anybody in this room tonight in one of these three areas? This is so important. This is so important. This is so important. So important. Anybody in the room tonight? Anybody in the room tonight? In one of the three areas, I want to just linger here for a moment and let you think this through and decide. There's nothing more important than your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is more important than anything in the world. More than anything in the world. Is there anybody in the room? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anybody? Okay. I want to just pray for everybody tonight. I don't care if you want to line up, if you want to line up. If you want to be a person that say, Pastor or Don, I don't want to miss the mark. I want the anointing of God on me. I want to be faithful in every situation that I have to face after I leave here. Whatever that situation is, if you want me to pray with you and agree with you that when that time comes, instead of your emotions being louder than what's happening on the inside of you spiritually, you'll remember the cross rather than what's happening to you. And you want me to pray a prayer of agreement, I want you to just line up and I want to lay hands on you and I want to believe God that when you're in a situation, that you'll remember where your loyalties are. And I want to just come by and I want to lay hands on you and I want to pray in agreement with you that the Holy Ghost will stand up strong on the inside of you. If you're in that place like the salesman was, just one little thing won't matter. Just one little thing won't matter. Well, you think he'd have picked up that can if he knew it didn't have a bottom in it and it was full of BBs? See, we don't know how Satan is going to try and set us up. So when revival comes, Satan wants to steal revival out of your heart. He wants to steal the anointing. He wants to steal your character. He wants to steal your integrity. But greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world, and you can overcome. You can stand the test of time in any situation. And I want all of you back there, if you will, just begin praying in the Spirit with me. Just begin praying in the Spirit with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray in the Spirit here for a couple of minutes. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost. You're going to be stronger than before. You're going to be stronger than before. 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 Brabade. Bredada. Bramano. Rabasako. Rabadabe. Brele barabada baba rabade bekeber rabada baso. Brele baramanaman.